Another fairly strong thread of evidence running through my letters from youngsters. Oh, and there was another. There's another thing I've got to later. Oh, no, I believe that's later. Is that I've turned some youngsters on to writing. Or it may be that the ones who wanted to write anyway just decided I was the one to tell about it and to ask advice of. And that's a lot of fun, too. But the letters that move me the most hit at something that a writer can mean to a reader without having the least idea of it. He can be a problem solver, a comforter, and a real friend. I have received letters saying that a certain book must have been written just for me. A number of letters. And telling of the illumination it shed on this child's, or not so childish, person's personal problems. I get lots asking me to recommend other books like Mara, or whatever book they're talking about. And saying, I am a steady reader. It is a sort of retreat because our family has had a lot of trouble in the last few months. I've had notes from mothers thanking me for answering their children's letters and telling me what a certain book has meant to the child. Or sometimes that the book has inspired the child to start writing. I've had letters from teachers, not all of them just to request a picture and autobiographical information for library week for the bulletin board. One of them said, the children's interest and knowledge of Egyptian history as a result of my reading the Golden Goblet to them couldn't be measured. At one time, they were making ingots out of every conceivable medium available. Their interest in papyrus was such that we finally had a film showing how papyrus was made into paper by the Egyptians. We had a little confusion here, though. They begged permission to bring a papaya to school for the purpose, I thought, of sampling the fruit, but it turned out to be for the purpose of making paper. I wonder how they did it. I guess the teacher had to figure out some way, didn't he? Excuse me, I'm choking. Then there was another rather blood-curdling letter from a teacher in Kansas who had read my book, Master Cornhill, to her fifth-grade class. That book, which is set in London in 1666, the year of the Great Fire, centers around the idea of courage, especially courage after great changes, drastic changes in one's life. Because the year before was the plague, and that year was the Great Fire, and it was 2 years of great changes. and it was about new beginnings. This teacher wanted to tell me what the book had done for a lot of her students, several of whom had been called on to face some really terrible new beginnings. One child, she told me, had watched his father murder his mother. Apparently the child had found a bit of courage from that book, and he certainly had a terrible new beginning to face. I've had letters from librarians, housewives, people in the armed forces, college students, other writers, would-be writers, lots of them, one from a retired couple in England who liked Golden Goblet, and one from a German bookseller who had read all my books that were translated into German in the German translations and wrote to tell me that he tried very hard to sell my books because he liked them so well, which I thought was awfully nice of him. I had to get my son to translate me the letter and then put my reply back into German. But only once in my life, and I think I'm very fortunate to be able to say this, have I received a letter like the following. Now, this is the notable exception that I mentioned a while ago. It came in 1967. Dear Mrs. McGraw and Mrs. Wagner, she had to share this blow. I'm not writing you to say how great Merry-Go-Round in Oz was. In fact, quite the contrary. I thought it was rotten of you to use the same plot as both the Hungry Tiger of Oz and Rinky-Tink of Oz had, and then to call it your own. Just 4 exclamation points. She was very moved by this. It's obvious. Can't you think up a plot by yourself? It was quite selfish of you to take up the whole back flyleaf describing how good you were in writing. Mr. Baum and Miss Thompson would never have thought to do such a thing. Instead, they unselfishly used the flyleaf to list all the Oz books people could read. We really shouldn't laugh, you know. The letter that is customarily written to the Oz readers at the beginning of each Oz book was also left out. Apparently, Mrs. Wagner's research did not include the details she considered unimportant. That Lynn was Mrs. Wagner at that point. I suggest that if you intend to try your amateur hands at writing more Oz stories, you try to improve the points I constructively criticized you about. Sincerely, Sarah, a true Ozbrook fan. Well, such letters are probably best left unanswered, but I found I couldn't let quite such a lot of misinformation go uncorrected. So I wrote her back. I have no idea what her other name is. Here's what I said. I'm sorry you were disappointed in Mary Garland and Oz. It never occurred to me that its plot and that of the Hungry Tiger were so similar. But of course there is nothing very surprising in the fact, since the idea of a search for three ritual objects is as old, tried and true as a Cinderella plot or the boy meets girl one. All the world's fiction, including Shakespeare's, has been based on just a few basic plots, as you will find as you read more. She was listening, you know. It is character, style, each writer's individual approach and personal touch that make one book different from another, not the plot each happens to use as framework. You're mistaken in thinking that Mrs. Wagner and I, or for that matter, Mr. Bond and Miss Thompson, have anything to do with what is printed on the back flap of the book jacket. The publisher chooses the artist to do the illustration for it, and somebody in the editor's office writes the copy or for the flaps. The author knows no more about what will be printed there than you do until he sees the published book. Perhaps Mrs. Wagner and I should have written the usual letter to the reader for our Oz book, but on second thought, don't you think that might have been a bit presumptuous of us? Miss Thompson and Mr. Baum both wrote many Oz books and had reason to feel personally close to their many readers. I'm sure that writing these introductory letters must have seemed to them a very natural thing to do. But my own readers have been generated from a different age group, so I felt I was addressing a new audience with this book, one to whom I was a stranger. And letters from strangers never mean much, you know. I'm not really an amateur, Sarah. I've 8 other books in print and have received hundreds of letters about them from readers. Yours is unique in being the only scolding and ill-tempered one I ever got. Perhaps as you reflect on the explanations of the points you raised, you will see one or two of them at least in a different light. And if not, it doesn't matter, since I have no plans to write other Oz books. Of course, we did write another one after all, so that was... I like all the letters readers send me. Even the foregoing was probably very good for my character. But a few of them are so wonderful, so marvelous, so moving, that they make me realize why I write, to communicate somehow with other minds. And to learn that I've done that, to know that I have succeeded in reaching across space or whatever it is to touch another person's life is reward enough for any amount of work. And writing is a lot of work. Let me read you part of my favorite letter of all time. This is just excerpts. Dear Mrs. McGraw, I should have written you 18 years ago when I first read Mara, Daughter of the Nile, to let you know of the great joy that filled me when I read that book. Since I was only 10 years old at the time, it isn't surprising that I didn't write you. But again, I should have written you when I was 22 and discovered Greensleeves. Now I'm 28. I've read Mara many times. I'm reading Greensleeves for the 3rd time, and I'm writing books of my own. I was an unhappy adolescent, and your book so encouraged me that life would get better, that perseverance would pay off, that I could make my own life better. All these things came true, are coming true. When I was an outcast, your books were my friend. That I read one of your books every year or so is an indication that my old friends are true friends. My hopes as a writer are to combine in my work the complexities of James, the insight of Faulkner, the singularity of Emily Bronte, the tone of Jane Austen, and the personality of me. Most of all, I hope to give the pleasure that I found in the books of Eloise Jarvis McGraw. It is an ideal to which I will always aspire, and I thank you for the years of constant joy your books have given me. Most sincerely yours. Just one such letter makes it all worthwhile.